24 eps of Nothing But You, starring Leo Wu. And this show surprised me so much. I was coming into the show just because I wanted my Leo Wu fix some more after Amidst the Snowstorm of Love and Love Like the Galaxy, and I really wasn't expecting much. But there's so much more to the show, and I have to talk to you about it. Hi, I'm Monique. I am the host of Off by Purple Heart podcast, where I talk to you about K-dramas, C-dramas, BTS, and whatever else I want to talk to you about. Nothing But You has so much going for it. You know, Leo Wu is the main attracting factor, at least for me coming into the show, but the female lead as well, Zoe Yu-tung, I think that's the actress that plays the character, the main female lead character, Ling Yuan. And honest to God, she is like my favorite female lead ever in a C-drama so far. I love her. She is so goddamn real. Like, she has everything I look for in a female lead character. Like, she is strong as nails. Like, when she needs to whip people into shape, she will. But she also has this really quiet femininity to her. She can show vulnerability, and she can be this really strong force of nature, and she can be all these things at the same time. She can be adorable, she can be cute, she can be sweet, she can also screw up, she also makes mistakes, she is not perfect, she can be a bit of a dumbass, but overall she's just such a strong character. I absolutely adore her in this show, and in the past 24 episodes I have watched, I have not felt like I had to cringe, or I'm like, why are the writers doing the female characters like this? Like, female characters get a really bad rap in rom-coms, and I feel like there's a lot of misogyny that ties into that as well, the way a lot of women characters are written and how the audience at large interprets these characters. But she's just so well written and grounded in reality. She's just real. I absolutely adore her. Leo Wu as well does another banger. One thing about this man is that he is like a chemistry generator. I honestly wasn't sure if there was going to be much chemistry to talk about in this show. As I said, I wanted to pick it up because I wanted to continue my Leo Wu fest. And my first impressions of the show was fine. I liked it. I did a previous episode, but I wasn't really sure if the chemistry was going to really sell me yet. And I was thinking in terms of the intensity that he had in Amidst a Snowstorm of Love and in Love Like the Galaxy. But he has that same intensity in this show, but in a different way. And it doesn't start off with the romance just being like super full of sparks. Both characters are actually wary of each other in a way. I would say that in the show, Leo Wu's character, Song Sang-chun, you know, he is initially kind of moody, kind of broody, and wary of the female lead character. And in a sense, Liang Yuan, she sees potential and is quietly impressed by Song very early on in the show. But the romance part isn't even like an option at that point because it just doesn't make sense narratively. So I would say in the first 6 episodes, they are just building the foundations of like a friendship and trust and like a mentee and a mentor in a kind of way. She ends up being like a huge encouragement for his character throughout the entirety of the show, which I really love. Like, they set up really early on the foundations of why their relationship would work even with the 10-year age gap. So it, like, their synopsis for the show, at least the one I read from Vicky, was very early on, you know, Song Sang-chun was very smitten with Ling Yuan, right off the bat, right? And he's like actively pursuing her, and she keeps putting him off because of their age gap. Whereas that's really how the show comes to be. In the first 6 to 7 episodes, they are just establishing their relationship and how they work together and how there's so many parallels in their life, both professionally and personally, and how they make sense as a partnership even before the actual relationship. They have a really high EQ amongst each other. I love how grounded in reality the show is too, because Lia Wu's character, I absolutely adore Yi Yang in Mrs. Snowstorm of Love. Like, he is the greenest of green flags. And while that show was very quiet and had a lot of normalcy as far as like the romance and the day-to-day activities, his character almost is unbelievable because just how much of a green flag he is, and that he's just so incredibly smooth and seductive. Like, you almost are incredulous with it. Whereas with this show, he can also put on the moves. He can also be smoldering, but he's also like a 22-year-old guy. You know, he has this immaturity to him at times. He has these little outbursts at times, but he's still grounded in reality, and he still has overall just this really great level of kindness, and he looks out for the female lead a lot. And the female lead actually really looks out for him too, and it's equally balanced. I was happy with the relationship. Again, I keep bringing up Amidst a Snowstorm of Love, but this is a show that I really loved, and it's like a recent watch of mine. And in that relationship, I was completely fine how it played out, and I loved how much Yi Yang would support Gua, and how much he would be there for her, and how much he would do to show how much he cared for her, the length of time he would travel, all the acts of service, and all the affirmations, positive affirmations. But some people, I remember reading the commentary, thought that the relationship was almost like one-sided, where he was putting in all this effort and Gua was just kind of receiving all the benefits of it, and just every now and then would be cute and flirtatious with him, but overall was really sheltered and shy, and she wasn't giving as much to the relationship. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that take, but in this show in particular, there is absolutely equality in how they show up for one another, even before like the hot and heavy romance. Like, there's this early on scene where they both go to a restaurant, and I believe it is Yuan's favorite restaurant, where she gets like her nice steamy hot ramen noodle bowl, and she'll get her soups and what have you, and her dumplings. And a lot of times in the ramen or the soup that she would get, there would be like cilantro in it, and she would pick it out. And you know, it would just be a scene that would just give the viewer quick information, and you would just see that, but the show wouldn't, you know, beat you over the head with her just picking out, you know, the cilantro, the little extra like basil or whatever out of her soup, right? It wasn't really a big deal. And then there's a scene where both her and Song end up to the same restaurant, and they're discussing something, and she's again picking out this green stuff, the cilantro, out of her meal, and he's picking up on that. And then the following scene, when they end up going back to the same restaurant again, he takes the bowl from her and then starts picking out that cilantro for her. And it's like little things like that. It's, you know, there's a scene where he's going to be playing this really major keystone match. This is when the show is still focusing on him being a badminton player and hasn't had him transition to being a tennis player, which is what the show really is based in, about him becoming this tennis superstar. But he's doing this badminton match, and you know, he's had to deal with this certain level of PTSD, some emotional trauma from his childhood and from his mom, and how his mom would pressure him as a badminton player, and how she herself didn't end up having her dreams of becoming this superstar badminton come to pass because she ended up having her son Song really early on, and she really was pressuring him and wasn't really the best, and then fell sick, and then their relationship kind of deteriorated and she went away. And there's PTSD would affect him in his gameplay, and to a point where he would score 18 points in badminton, and then he would kind of lock up and freeze up and wouldn't be able to continue to play at the same level, to the point where he would completely throw the match. And he was like a stellar badminton player. So now fast forward into present day with the female lead, Yuan. She ends up going to a badminton game. This is like a really huge clincher game that he needs to win, and she positions herself in front of the scoreboard so he won't be distracted by the point system. And then he goes on to score 19 points instead of freezing up at 18 and winning the match. And this is against like one of his early nemesis in the show. So it's like super satisfying and super rewarding. And from very early on, she is encouraging him every step of the way and saying, I see the talent in you. You know, I and my sports agency have two different objectives. They are looking at another badminton player on your team, and they want to make him the superstar. They want to make him the underdog because they see a lot of value in him, and he's been solid in his career, whereas you have been shaky because of this PTSD due to your mom. But I believe in you. It's you that I want. It's you that I think have the potential to be the superstar, and I want to support you in whatever and however I can. And it's like things like that. This is even before the romance, and it's almost super romantic, even though the show is not positioning them as a couple yet. It's just that partnership between them, this general mutual understanding. Even like a step further, he was being bullied by a particular teammate who's really jealous and knows that he is a threat to him and his career, but because he has this PTSD and would freeze up at certain points of the game, like this particular team member would go out of his way to torturing him and making him basically feel like shit a lot of the times. And in the courting process, the sports agency would send out, you know, the female lead, Yuan, and would say, you know, get this guy some merch, get him like one of our tennis or badminton rackets, you know, put us on the map, you know, court him because we want him under us. So get him whatever he needs. And in the same vein, Yuan is able to get a tennis racket for Song as well, knowing that he would, or a badminton racket for him as well, and know that would mean so much to him. Like, they do so many little things for each other that it's just great. But they also fight, you know, they also have disagreements, but there's still this level of respect among them. And this is like really portrayed really well in like the first 6 to 7 episodes. And then 8 to like 10, you really start to see like the roots and the foundation of the romance. And that's when the chemistry turns into something fire. Let me tell you, episode 12 and onwards, ooh, there's this one particular scene, and you know, Yuan, she and Song had to go to like this banquet, and they're trying to get money for sponsorship because now the story has transitioned towards, you know, Song having to become a tennis player, and they end up in this defunct tennis club that's losing a lot of money from her sports agency, which she ended up getting fired from. And then she kind of gets back in the fold because her asshole boss essentially says, hey, I'm going to give you this side project. It's pretty hopeless, but if anyone could turn this crap into gold, it would be you. Anyways, they're looking for money. They're looking for sponsorship. They go to this banquet. My girl gets super tipsy, super drunk, and the actress does a really great job. Like, I find a lot of actors, they don't play drunk very well. It's not very charming. It's just very irritating, but her playing drunk is absolutely hysterical. She is so goddamn funny. Her comedic timing, the physicality, everything, wonderful. Anyways, she's drunk, and, you know, Song being the dashing, you know, gentleman that he is, he ends up taking her home and just hoping that she gets in and settles in comfortably. And she can't enter the code to enter her apartment, and she's giggling, she's having a great time, just being really silly. And you know, Leo Wu's character is like, well, let me enter the passcode then. And he's like, just tell me what it is and I can help you out. And she just kind of leans into him. She goes right into his ear and she like whispers in the most seductive way her passcode. And you literally see Leo Wu's eyelashes flutter. You see him like take this massive gulp. And you can just see that he's like bricked up. It is the most amazing way, and it was like that shift where their chemistry just like explodes. Let me tell you, from like episode 12 like right up into episode 20, like the chemistry does not let up. And then obviously I'm delving into a lot of spoilers into this. they have this amazing, amazing, passionate scene in like, I think episode 20 or 21. And the fallout from that is spectacular. It is such a bad, dramatic fallout, but it makes sense in the storyline that we've been presented with and narratively what has happened throughout their love story. And I'm at episode 24, so, you know, some stuff has happened since, but the relationship isn't solid yet. They're not a couple yet. There's still barriers to their relationship. And now I see why it's 38 episodes. And let me tell you, that 38 episode payoff, I genuinely think is going to pay off, because they've done an amazing job of stretching out this romance, giving it roots, giving it foundation, giving the audience something to chew on and to marinate in, and then yanking it away. But it all makes sense, and it's not just drama for drama's sake. And it's not just the romance as well. There's other stuff in the storyline. There's the whole professional development of both characters' careers. Like, the relationship isn't the only thing of value to watch from this show. Both characters have their own ethos. They have their own trials and tribulations. They have their own dreams, their own goals. And it makes sense. The friendships that they both form, for one, you know, Song and his relationship with his stepfather is not only really hysterical and funny, but it has a lot of emotional weight and resonance as well. You know, Yuan and her relationship with her best friend, who eventually turns into like a nutritionist for the tennis club as well, her relationship with her is really normal and really grounded in reality. And the show does great commentary on single motherhood as well. Being single and a woman in your 30s and, you know, balancing the career and the pressures of wanting to be in a relationship and it not working out, everything from like academic failure and how you're able to bounce past that but still be able to build an incredible career. I mean, the show dwells into conversation about like the millennial versus Gen Z mindset and how that plays out in the workplace, and how there was like this hustle burnout culture in the millennial age, and then in the Gen Z era, how it's more about, you know, working something that you genuinely enjoy and love, and not just burning the midnight oil in something that's just not going to pan out for you, and not giving more than is necessary to a company, no matter what perks they're seemingly giving to you at first. There's just like so much in this show beyond just the romance. Even like the friendship among the tennis players and how they were so wary towards Leo Wu's character, Song, and how through his hard work and dedication, they come around and they become like the best of brothers. It's just overall such a surprising show to me. And I'm looking at the ratings for it, you know, and the amount of people that reviewed it, and it's not very high. Like, obviously, I'm sure that the drama got its fair share because Leo Wu's in it. I'm not really familiar with the actress, but Zhou Yutong, I'm assuming she's been in the game for a bit, and I'm sure the show had a successful run in 2023, but considering just how damn good it is, I am shocked that it's not even more popular. I honestly am having such a great time with it. Like, I stayed up much later than I needed to multiple times to watch this show. I'm really floored by how much I loved it. I really didn't expect much, but I should know this. Leo Wu has not led me astray yet. Like, Wu Lei knows his stuff. Like, all three shows that I have watched with him, banger after banger after banger. Like, he's doing the damn thing. He's doing it well. I'm impressed with the entire cast. I just think the show works really well. Even the characters that I don't like, for example, her old boss, Yuan's old boss, I think he's a prick. But even the relationship breakdown of him and his wife and the inner strength that his wife had, and just how she kind of transforms from being really broken down and her self-esteem just kind of plummeting to her being really fierce and asking for that divorce and ultimately coming out the other side like an entirely different character. There's just so much to chew off this show. Anyways, I'm being signaled to wrap this up. I got some personal stuff to attend to, so I'm going to conclude this podcast episode for today. Thank you for watching and or listening. If you're watching via YouTube, please put in the comments section below if you are watching or have watched this show. I think this show is a surprise just how good it is. It is so well written. I wonder if it's a woman that wrote this, because I feel like it's just so smartly done. But yeah, let me know your thoughts. What are your favorite scenes? I'm telling you right now, like episode 12, if you've watched the show, you know the scene that I love. If you've watched episode 20 or like 21, you know the other scene that I'm talking about too. Woo, child. Anyway, if you're listening via Spotify or Apple Podcasts, I love you and appreciate you as well. Until the next episode, I hope you enjoy your morning, noon, evening, wherever you are. Till the next one. Bye.